Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life that you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that prayer that I just prayed, you may recognize it as the prayer that we started out with in this morning's liturgy, what we call the Collect of the Day, which once in a while matches up with the lectionary. Sometimes it's almost accidental. These are the collects that get prayed through Epiphany, and these are the readings that get read through Epiphany, but they cycle in different cycles. But once in a while they just cross in a way that the collect illuminates the scripture in a certain way. I want to use the collect to frame the scripture today. And notice that the prayer does not say, "You have set us free from the bondage of our sins." It doesn't say, "You have given us abundant life in Jesus." And that's curious, because that's usually the way that we frame it, that in Christ we have been set free and given new life. It puts this out in the future, or at least in the present. Free us from our bondage and give us that abundant life, as if this were something still ahead of us or something that we're in the middle of right now. And so it is. Inside the house and outside the house, we are often experiencing life as something less than, or the hope for more, this caught in the middle. Paul talks about not being able to do what he wants, being kind of dragged down. So there is, the prophets in the biblical tradition head straight into this, almost always. They call this discrepancy out. They don't make it easier, they make it harder. They don't so much predict the future as present an alternative reality, one that they say is really real, usually in conflict with the prevailing norm, both of culture and religion. That's what we get today. So if we were the people of ancient Israel, listening to the prophet Isaiah in the first reading, we would have heard this alternative reality described this way. And I'm going to ham this up not to be cute, but to help us hear the words. I mean, it's all there. You can follow along. First of all, he tells Isaiah, don't hold back. This is verbatim. Use your voice like a trumpet. I don't have a voice like a trumpet, but but then God says to the people, to Isaiah, almost with a, not a sneer, but says, day after day, they seek me and delight to know my ways. Just full of irony. As if they were a nation that practiced righteousness. As if. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress your workers. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is this the fast that I choose, to bow the head like a bulrush, to lie in sackcloth and ashes? This is the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thong of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them. The God of the Bible is consistently less interested in correct religious observance or personal piety or belief in the right creeds than we are. God here and elsewhere in Scripture is far more interested in ethical behavior. How we behave what we say we believe. Jesus was formed in this prophetic tradition. So, and he says exactly that. I came to, not to abolish, but to fulfill the law. To take us to the depth of religion's purpose, as Isaiah did. And this depth usually is not obscure or arcane, but very basic, obvious, even if hidden in plain sight. And so Jesus simply says today in the reading, salt is for saltiness. Light is to shed light. And if it's not doing that, it's functionally worthless. Something is misaligned. So then when Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, he's not calling for more religiosity, but for something far more basic. For that same alignment that Isaiah flagged in its absence. If your words and your behavior don't match, then this is not going to work out very well for you. You're misaligned with reality. You're not going to find abundance that way. And you will certainly never have any credibility with anyone, not even yourself. You will not believe yourself. You will experience life as bondage. The Bible calls that fundamental misalignment sin. And we make a lot of drama around that word sin, fill it full of shame and guilt and generally feeling really bad. But in the biblical sense, it's a much more matter-of-fact word. The word that we translate sin simply means missing the mark, unaligned. And the bondage of misalignment is not arbitrary, it's just the inevitable consequence. It's what always happens when things don't line up. Things don't work, they don't work out. And it gets really crazy when we pretend that they do. These past 3 years up at the retreat center, I have had the privilege, real privilege, of working with the local village priest, Mary Gates, who, in addition to being a priest, is a therapist and social worker, and in addition to that, has also, for the last 20 years, led a sangha that meets in her barn. And her sermons and her dharma talks are remarkably the same, similar. They thread a common message, almost everyone, through them, that has gotten under my skin. She says, this is coming out of the Buddhist tradition, there is always a gap between who we say we are and what we actually do. Someone at the nine after the nine said, I know what you're talking about. I can see that in other people all the time. We know what we're talking about, right? And Mary says that noticing that gap, not changing behavior, is what begins to release us from bondage. You don't have to tell the truth. You just have to notice when you're not telling the truth and get curious about why. Judgment does not help. It makes it worse. It makes all the attention back on me. Woe is me, or it's not my fault, or whatever. Just stop it. Just notice the gap. That is the opposite of what most of us were taught in any church. try harder, pray more, say more, make more acts of contrition, feel sorry. But this has the benefit of actually working. Just noticing. It's so small. But it is like a fulcrum and a lever. It is tremendously liberating. Picking up reading from Isaiah, right where we left off a few minutes ago, where he says, "This is what God wants. This behavior, this closing the gap." He says, "Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up quickly. You shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and God will say, 'Here I am.'" Again, this is not arbitrary. When you take the cover off the light, what happens? It shines. There is no opposite to light. It seems like there is in this, light and darkness, but light doesn't have an opposite. It either is or it isn't. Darkness doesn't conquer light, cover it over. That's not darkness. That's obscuring. Light just is. It shines. That's alignment. Try it this week. If you like homework, here's some homework. Just notice your words and your actions. Just notice them. And don't try to adjust either one. And I would almost guarantee that's going to be the hard part. The not changing behavior. Or not trying. Just notice. And notice specifically the gap. The little gap between the two. And one of the best ways to do that is listen to yourself if you ever say, "I never" or "I always." Oh, really? Never, always? Really just a little gap there. Sometimes. But notice the gap. With curiosity, not judgment. Again, that's going to be the hard part. And don't change anything just at first, but then watch what happens to the gap. Because once we see the gap, the gain is up. It's actually no more fun. Then the land, the undiscovered country becomes, it just starts to close on its own. It's like, nobody really wants to live with that gap. That's precisely why we cover it over. Courageous curiosity with that gap. And I'll add this just as the final thing to see if you can start to notice. Just notice what that feels like when the gap starts to close. How alignment feels like abundance. Even if nothing else has changed in life. Just noticing the gap. Noticing it closing. "Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. You shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, 'Here I am.'"